Hello, everybody. This is Andrew, and I have Leslie with me
of, hey.
Bad Movies and Booze. And this is my first time taking the lead on making a drink.
Yeah.
Hooray. No.
Second.
Yeah,
you made the holiday kickoff.
Yes, I did. Yes, a holiday kickoff, which is a traditional one. But seeing that the holidays are over, we're going to move right into the 2021 new year with Brave Bowl.
Yes.
It's actually a three-piece ingredient drink of ice, tequila blanco, and Kahlua. Fill your rocks glass with ice cubes. Pour 1 2/3 ounce silver tequila and 1 ounce Kahlua. Stir a little bit to lightly mix the ingredients. It has a very pretty caramel color, and it certainly has a mature scent to it.
Yeah.
And after me and Leslie tasted it, again, I'm not a big tequila fan, but this isn't too bad.
No, it's actually enjoyable.
Yeah.
And drinking it, it definitely puts me into a dark cigar bar feel.
Yes. So this is definitely one of those types of drinks that would complement, I would hope, all cigars that are being smoked. I just remembered the chocolate cigar that you had.
Mm-hmm.
This would work.
Oh, absolutely.
This would certainly work with a chocolate cigar.
Absolutely. So, yeah, this drink is pretty good. It's rather smooth. It's smoother than what I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So, it works.
It's very delicious.
Yeah.
I'm going to be playing my old school Super Nintendo on a Nintendo Switch and sipping on this.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, I could get Samus of Super Metroid to run straight while I'm drinking it.
What? I guess I'll get over there eventually and play some games with you.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
All right. So, up next is our breakdown of 2012 Ice Age. And then after that, we have some spoken word from Andrew. Enjoy. A couple of things we learned with this movie. Stephen King does not need to direct his own movies.
I understand and greatly respect Stephen King as an author and as a visionary.
Mm-hmm.
And he is. And I give massive props to that. But movie-wise, this one missed the mark for us.
There was a mark?
Well, I know the mark about your hair. Your hair smells lovely.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I just washed it.
It smells wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to dance in it. I can. It's going to be kind of hard, but I can do it. Moving on. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Andrew. That's Leslie. Welcome to another episode of Bad Movies and Booze, where we're just watching some stuff and we just can't figure out why.
Well,
we
this
know
one,
why.
I was going to say this one is because of Shelley Joe.
Yeah. Shelley Joe. You know I like you.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Leslie posts on her Facebook and you comment, I always smile whenever I see a comment from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of like being at a press conference for a president. Shelley Joe, hey, how's it going? What you got?
Anyway.
And we saw what you got. 1986's Maximum Overdrive, which they say is an action comedy horror.
An action comedy what?
Action comedy horror. I had something stuck to the roof of my mouth. Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Where a group of people try to survive when machines start to come alive and become homicidal. Oy vey. All right. Emilio Estevez, Pat Hingle, Laura Harrington, Yeardley Smith, John Short, Ellen McElniff, J.C. Quinn, Christopher Murney, Holter Graham, Frankie Faison. Oh, that's what his name is. Frankie Faison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know the face, but I just didn't put the name to it.
Yeah.
And
I
also
guess.
Giancarlo Esposito is in there.
Yeah.
And Marla Maples. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we got a Trump reference.
All right. So I know a lot of people have watched this movie already.
Mm.
And we got a lot of comments about it. So I know a lot of you know the movie. This was actually my first time watching it. I'm not a horror movie fan in most senses. I mean, there are some that I absolutely love, but I know that I have nightmares, so I'd rather not have nightmares. But there are some that I just can't stay away from, so I watch them anyway.
Yeah, if you want a horror, Stephen King makes a cameo in there.
Yeah. So this movie starts with a bad picture of stars and Earth. And then it starts getting covered in this green. All of a sudden, for some reason, well, they start talking about this comet. And they're going over that there was this comet that came and it was around for like 3 days or something. Then we're in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Your neck of the woods.
Well,
so to speak.
I'm from Philly.
Yes, you are. But you lived in North Carolina for how many years?
It was only 8. It wasn't even 10. I wasn't even there for a decade. So.
But you know more about that area than I do.
Well, yeah.
Your neck of the woods.
Not.
Moving on.
Anyway, so Wilmington, North Carolina, there's a sign above the bank. And at first it starts flashing about the weather and different stuff like that.
Just a scrolling marquee that you would normally see on like a bus, a train.
Right.
On the side of a building.
Right.
So it goes from all of that wonderful stuff to fuck you. I love the marquee.
But for no reason at all.
No reason at all. It says fuck you.
Right.
I was looking at this. I'm just smiling on the inside just as much as I'm smiling on the outside.
Oh my gosh.
Like I'm doing right now. The bank told you how it felt about you and your business.
Anyway, then a man, Stephen King, goes to the bank's ATM and it all of a sudden starts reading out, "You're an asshole." And it's like going across the whole screen. That's all that keeps going across the screen is, "You're an asshole." I don't know why. I mean, I just thought that was really dumb, especially, you know, machines are coming to life and acting crazy. That was just stupid.
I found it hilarious. I think they were taking a strong jab at Stephen King at that point.
Probably. But, I mean, yeah, I guess it being a comedy as well. I don't know.
That part I found funny.
Yeah.
Well, it got 5.5 out of 10 stars. Something had to be funny.
Yeah. I just think people like Stephen King.
Like I said, great writer. Phenomenal writer. I have a few of his books, but not in the movie sense.
Yeah.
Storm of the Century, though. That wasn't too bad. Storm of the Century wasn't too bad, but this...
I mean, I tried to sit through the Langoliers.
Goes into the wood chipper. Into the wood chipper.
So, anyway, we're in a drawbridge control tower. There's these two guys playing cards. They make them like they're these two dumb country bumpkin type guys. And the bridge just starts to go up on its own. So the lights don't change or anything. And the bridge just starts to raise. And people start screaming. A motorcyclist slides off of his bike and falls into the water. And then a truck falls in. And cars are crashing and piling up all over the place.
Oh, but that's not all. That's just piling around. Watermelon.
Yeah.
Watermelon started falling out of the truck that was on a steep incline, hitting all the other cars and trucks behind it.
Yeah.
So everyone's getting some fresh watermelon in ways they didn't bargain for.
I mean, it was summer in the South. All right. So now we see this truck with a large goblin face driving down the road.
The Green Goblin from Spider-Man.
That's what it looks like. But
that's exactly what it is.
That's not what it was supposed to be.
Really?
No, it wasn't supposed to be the Green Goblin from Spider-Man. Anyway, the truck says it's from Happy Toys and it pulls into the truck stop. And several people are already inside the truck stop sitting there eating. And Emilio Estevez, he's the cook, and his name is William Robinson. They call him Billy. So they're cooking, and the boss wants to talk to Billy. For some reason, the boss, who is Bubba, calls everybody in the place Bubba. I don't understand it, but hey. So the waitress starts trying to take over cooking while Emilio Estevez is... Well, Billy is talking to the boss, Bubba. So then we go into the game room at this place, and all the machines in the game room are flipping out. And there's this guy in there, and he is just standing there looking at all the machines flip out. Money's spitting out of the machines and everything. Anyway, the gas pump stops working, and when one of the guys who works at the station goes to check, he gets gas in his eye some kind of way. So, of course, they have to help him out. Anyway, Billy is talking to Bubba, and the boss wants him to work an hour for free. And he's like, well, Billy's on parole. You don't want to go back. If you don't listen to me, you'll go back and all this other stuff. So then we go back to the waitress who's trying to cook. And an electric knife just starts on its own and cuts her arm. Yeah.
It's him.
Yeah.
It's him.
Yeah.
It is the Green Goblin. I know what I'm talking about.
Whatever.
I watch too much TV to not know.
All that time he was looking. He was looking to see if it was Green Goblin or not.
It was. Yeah. Anyone that knows comic books and Spider-Man knows that Happy Toy Truck was the Green Goblin. Anyway.
Yeah. So the waitress gets her arm cut and everybody is trying to help her out. Billy comes out and he's beating the knife.
An electric knife carver or something.
He's beating it with something and breaks it. So they go back into the game room. We see the game room again and the black guy that's in there,
Giancarlo Esposito,
he starts taking all the cigarettes, like cigarettes are flying out of the cigarette machine. Money is coming out of the machines and he's gathering it all up and sticking it in his pockets. He's all excited.
You know, if it was us, you know, I wouldn't take the cigarettes, but the money on the other hand.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I don't smoke.
But back
don't
then.
Don't smoke, children.
Back then, I would have taken the cigarettes and given them to people I knew who smoked.
Sell them. Turn a profit.
Something. I mean, yeah, maybe that's what he was doing or trying to do.
That's true.
Yeah. So he touches one of the games and he gets electrocuted and everybody hears the noise or whatever. And so they go to check. And then it cuts to a Little League game. Coach goes over to the soda machine and the soda machine starts attacking the coach.
When we say attack, we say soda can number one, right in the jewels.
Yeah.
Soda can number two, right in the forehead.
Yeah. So then it's like attacking the team too. So they're running and they're falling. A lot of them get hit with soda cans. And a steamroller comes out of nowhere across a fence and runs over one of the kids.
Mind you, there's no one driving the thing.
No.
No one.
No. So it runs over one of the kids. And another one of the players, he gets on his bike and he gets away. So then we're in a car with some guy and a woman. And the guy, we find out later that he's a Bible salesman. But the woman is a hitchhiker. And the radio is telling everybody to stay off the highway. So she's telling him she wants to get out of the car. And he, of course, is trying to feel her up. And she's fighting him off. He doesn't want to let her out of the car. She grabs the wheel and forces him to pull into the truck stop.
So you said he's a Bible man. He's a Bible salesman.
Yeah.
And being in such a profession, it is accurate to say that you are to, what is that phrase that I'm looking for? Not be swayed by temptation and pleasure of the flesh.
Yeah, but you know, he was just trying to get money. He wasn't caring about the Bibles.
Mm.
He was just a salesman. It didn't matter if it was Bibles or
coloring books.
Yeah. He was just trying to sell.
Actually, let's date it. This was 1986.
Mm-hmm.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, so it really didn't matter what he was selling.
The letter people.
Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Look, that took me back.
So they go to the truck stop and the guy is fussing at her because he's like, you know, I drove you all this way and this is how you treat me and all this other stuff. And the Happy Toys truck just starts up and it tries to run the people over. And they run into the truck stop so that they don't get run over.
Yeah, Green Goblin is going to roll out. Lives are saved. Bubblegum was popped.
Bubblegum?
Someone was chewing bubblegum and they popped the bubble.
Oh my gosh.
It's the devil's in the details.
I wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pay attention to this movie.
Yeah, it was. I just wanted to get through the movie. So now you see a newly married couple and they're in their car. They pull into a different gas station.
Kurt and Connie.
Right.
Such newlywed, loving, wedded bliss. How cute.
And they see a dead guy. So for some reason, Curtis follows the blood instead of driving away. And a tow truck starts up and tries to run Curtis over, of course. So then Connie is like yelling or whatever. And the truck starts up again and they jump into their car and they start driving off.
You know what's crazy about this? No one had enough sense to try to call the authorities. No one tried to call the police, the fire department at least.
No, not even with the guy who had the gas in his eyes.
An ambulance.
Something.
Nope. Maybe they're dead.
They might have been.
No.
So then we're back at the truck stop and Billy checks the Happy Toys truck.
Emilio Estevez.
Right, to see why it started. And nobody sees anything. And so Brett is the hitchhiker girl. So she starts hitting on Billy. Like, all of a sudden, she just drives into this place. She got into a fight with the Bible salesman. And next thing you know, she's over talking to Billy, talking about you're cute and all up in his face and everything.
Give it time, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Give it time.
So then they hear the radio because the radio is like in and out. So sometimes you can hear it and sometimes you can't. And the radio says that the machines are going on a homicidal rampage. And the boy that rode off on the bike, the baseball player that got away, he is riding his bike and he sees dead people all over the place.
And then all the sprinklers on all the lawns came on at the same time.
Yeah. But then when he turned around, of course, they were all off again. So he didn't see the sprinklers on.
That was concerning.
Yeah. Then an ice cream truck is driving down the street and the boy hides behind the bushes. And when he comes out, a lawnmower turns on and is trying to chase him.
Yeah, that lawnmower has seen better days.
I'm still trying to figure out how the lawnmower is taking over.
Well, you have to think about it. It has a motor. If it has a motor, more than likely, it's going to be taken over.
Very stupid. Extreme. Especially, why didn't all the other cars in the neighborhood just start taking over?
Budget.
Okay.
See, it made sense, didn't it?
Anyway, so the guy.
Okay, I lied. It's not the budget. Someone was just freaking lazy.
Yeah, laziness, not budget.
$10 million budget.
So anyway, the guy who got the gas in his eyes, he's trying to find his son. And we find out that his son is the baseball player kid who's on his bike.
Right.
So he's trying to find his son, but he can't see. And everybody's trying to stop him from going out. And his boss tells him, Bubba says, if he leaves without punching out, he wouldn't have a job. And of course, the guy is like, I don't care about this stupid job. Like, I'm trying to get to my kid. So he walks away, and then one of the trucks runs him over. So.
Yeah. This is just sad. The man didn't clock out for the day. Technically, he's still getting paid.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, a truck then hits the Bible salesman's car. And the Bible salesman goes from trying to sell Bibles and talking about the good Lord and everything to using every expletive that he could possibly use as he goes running out trying to figure out what happened with his car.
So he is a Bible salesman and he's talking the good word while denying the pleasures and the temptation of the flesh.
Anyway. While he's out there yelling, the Happy Toys truck hits him and he falls into a ditch. And then the truck parks. Yeah. Now all the trucks are revving their engines and honking And then they start driving around, circling the truck stop.
It's a heck of a visual, everybody. Just imagine at least 8 16-wheelers circling a gas station as well as a station stop where it's a little restaurant and a little souvenir shop. Just circling the thing all day, all night.
Yeah, it was really dumb. Anyway, so Curtis and Connie, we are back at them. They're driving one way on the road, and they see all these trucks driving the other way. And then all of a sudden, one of the trucks just starts chasing them. And this truck is like really, really chasing them down. And it finally, it hits them a couple of times. And somehow they outrun the truck. And the truck goes down an embankment, catches fire, and then blows up.
In a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
Boom goes the truck.
Then they get to the truck stop.
Dixie Boy truck stop.
Yeah.
The truck stop where you don't want to be at this time.
Basically.
Because, you know, you have all these out of control, not really out of control, but very sentient, very organized trucks being led by a happy toy Green Goblin.
Yeah. So the trucks are still going around in a circle. Curtis is like, I can thread my way through these trucks or whatever. So he tries to go through, and one of the trucks hits his car, and the car flips, and Billy and Brett goes out and rescues them from out of the car.
I have to point out that Connie had no faith in her brand new husband when he tried to do that maneuver.
She ain't had no faith in nothing, though.
She had no faith in him at that point.
Yeah.
So Curtis fucked up. She was very justified in feeling the way that she felt.
Yep.
So I don't blame her.
So then somehow Bubba has a bazooka.
Bubba is the owner, the boss owner of this truck stop.
Right.
Dixie Boy truck stop.
He has a bazooka and he shoots one of the trucks. I think he shoots two of the trucks.
Yeah, he shot two of the trucks. One of the trucks was a toilet paper truck.
Yeah.
My problem with this is, what the hell are you doing with a bazooka at a gas station? That's what I need to know.
Yeah.
Why?
Like, even if you have bazookas, why aren't they at your house?
Why do you have a bazooka at the... Are you expecting someone to take your gas station?
Yeah.
And you have to have a bazooka.
But anyway, he shoots the trucks. Everybody runs inside. Of course, there's a plane.
There's always a plane in movies like this.
Yeah. And so the plane is flying around and the boy hides from the plane.
Smart kid.
Yeah.
So also, there was a particular song that was playing at that point in time.
Well, it was a whole AC/DC.
Well, not quite that, but it was certainly something written by Richard Wagner that I said I was going to bring up in this conversation.
Oh, yeah, Ride of the Valkyries. I do know the name.
It's an awesome song.
This is definitely
a great song for flying a plane.
Always.
It's beautiful.
Always. Really?
Yes. And shout out to Daniel Bryan for Ride of the Valkyries.
Oh my gosh.
The yes man himself.
Oh my gosh. So Billy, he's going to the bathroom. And one of the other guys, Joey, is already in the bathroom. But he's like sitting on the toilet. Billy's trying to pee, whatever. And Joey tells Billy that there's lots of ammo in the basement. And so Brett and Billy go down to the basement to see all this ammunition, and Bubba finds them, and they get into this stupid argument about why Bubba used to be in jail because he was trying to rob a store. And for some reason, there's this whole sentimental scene between Brett and Billy about, oh, he shouldn't have done it. He's like, I shouldn't have done it. And Brett is trying to tell him he's a hero or something. It was really dumb.
Yes.
It was dumb. All right. So then the kid, he gets to the stop, but he can't get over to the other side because of the truck. So he's trying to figure out how to get over to the other side. And of course, because there has to be a sex scene in any movie, Brett and Billy have sex while the trucks are circling. You just met this chick. These trucks are circling. I guess they were like, hey, we might die, so let's...
That's
one last hurrah.
That's classic 1986 thinking. If you're in a situation where death is imminent, you hook up with the closest person to you.
I guess.
That is non-related.
I guess.
And in this case, Billy and Britt, they got it in.
Yeah.
And they apparently they enjoyed each other.
I guess.
Because they were cuddling at the end. Look, if it was below par humping.
I mean, but if you're in a situation like that.
You want to hold somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. But at the same time, if you did like three pumps and a grind. Nah.
Yeah, I think I'd be mad and
there you go.
Outside.
See, there
eating
you
some
go.
Pancakes.
And so, they were serving pancakes in the other room.
Yeah. So anyway, it's now nighttime. And they're eating and talking about going to an island with no motor vehicles on it. So the waitress goes outside because I guess she's just tired. So she starts screaming, "We made you," to the trucks. And now the horns are going off again and all the lights go out.
That was just real smart on her part. She just left everyone vulnerable.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And everybody's sitting inside drinking beer. And now the Bible salesman is yelling from the ditch. So they're trying to figure out, they're like, how are they going to get the Bible salesman?
We know.
To go save him.
Oh, we know. We're going to duck in between the trucks. We're going to hide ourselves. We're going to get to the showers with no sighting from the trucks whatsoever. Go underground and save the Bible man.
Yeah. So... And then we cut to the boy and he's still trying to get across. There's more trucks coming and he realizes he can go through this drain pipe under the road.
Mm-hmm.
So Curtis is trying to go with Billy and Connie doesn't want him to, but she lets him go anyway.
Curtis showed himself to be a strong leader and Connie was very supportive, making sure to tell him you better come back alive.
Right.
Mwah. That's love for you. Oh, if I was gosh. To do something like that, I know you'll look at me and say, you better come back alive.
Mm-hmm. I definitely will.
Yeah, you can't hug money.
No.
You can, but it won't hug you back.
Very true.
There you go.
Maybe if I put it in a pillow.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
I just gave my wife an idea.
Anyway, they start splashing through sewage. And there's like a whole conversation while they're going through all this sewage. I don't know why there's a conversation. It's very unnecessary in the movie.
What was it that Morgan Freeman said in Shawshank Redemption? Like crawling through a river of shit.
Yeah, and came out clean on the other side.
Apparently they crawled through a river of shit and they were not clean on the other end.
No, they were not. So now the boy is on the other side of the other pipe and he sees the Bible salesman and he thinks he's dead. But no, Bible salesman's not dead. He's trying to get the boy to help him and he threatens to kill the boy if the boy doesn't help him.
Man, you better sit your dead ass right there.
And then a truck comes after them in the ditch.
Yeah, which was just plain crazy. I mean, they could have done that the entire time, but...
Right.
Given that they heard people, they're like, okay,
I guess,
we got to go after you.
Because then Curtis and Billy go over and they're trying to help the boy get away from the crazy Bible salesman.
Yep.
And that's when the truck comes. And so they start running and they're like, they can't save the Bible salesman now.
Kid was rescued. Bible man was not.
Right. So they run into the sewer and they get out and run across and Billy shoots the bazooka at one. And then they're all inside and the boy is asking for his dad and Bubba is an asshole and is just blurts out that his dad is dead. So the boy, of course, starts crying and Brett goes over and smacks him across the face.
Way to be subtle, you dipshit. Yeah.
So now it's morning. And a bulldozer comes along and all the other trucks stop. And the bulldozer starts clearing truck parts. And then a small military cart with a machine gun is with it. It's like...
These are sentient automobiles, so they know what they have and how they are used.
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. So the bulldozer hits Bubba's car. And of course, Bubba shoots the bulldozer with a bazooka. And the machine gun starts going crazy and is shooting, kills Bubba and several other people who just keep standing up, for no reason. Like, they're shooting. They see the machine gun. It starts shooting at everybody, and they're standing up.
Yep. So, ladies and gentlemen, a life lesson. If there's ever, ever a time you hear gunfire or something that sounds like a loud firecracker or some sort of rapid fire kickback from a car, which in this day and age is super rare, get your ass on the floor, cover your head.
Yeah. So the waitress, her name is Wanda. She, of course, is really upset now.
Warrior waitress.
So she goes and grabs the bazooka and she goes out screaming, "We made you." And the machine gun, of course, shoots her up. And while the machine gun is shooting her, the bazooka goes off and it hits Miller Lite truck.
No beer flew and no beer was harmed during the making of this film.
Oh, whatever.
Meanwhile, yeah, the military truck decides to honk its horn. But it's not just honking its horn, it's delivering Morse code.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the gas attendant's son knows Morse code. So he got a Boy Scout badge in that, I believe.
Yes,
yeah,
of course.
I mean, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Of course.
And convenient.
Very convenient.
Extremely convenient. He got a pen. He got a paper. And he wrote out what the Morse code was. In summation, no one's going to get killed as long as you give us fuel.
Yeah.
That's what the trucks are saying.
So they want fuel. So Billy goes to turn on the pumps and Brett tries to stop him. She says it's not a good idea because she's like, they shouldn't give in to them or whatever.
Mm-hmm. While Billy Estevez is making an American Express joke, which was uber weak.
Yeah. Very.
Jeez.
But then he goes out and he starts talking to the Happy Toys truck like he's a drug dealer. And he's like, they got the best gas on the East Coast. Some of the cleanest stuff and all this other stuff.
I love it.
So then church bells start ringing and they start fueling every single truck that drives up. And it's 100 degrees outside.
It's kind of warm out today.
And it's a crazy long line of trucks waiting to fuel up, which I still don't understand. Because if they wanted fuel, why are they killing people at gas stations? Why were the other people at the other gas station dead?
Because they had no one to listen to them. It was a respect thing. We will kill you, but we will stop killing you because we have this military truck that is able to talk for us and let you know.
So that military truck could only go to that one. And that was the only military truck that could go to one location all the way in Wilmington, North Carolina, when they were killing everywhere.
Stephen King movie. Yes. Because it makes sense.
Not at all.
All the sense.
So then there's more bells. There's more church bells. And the truck stop runs out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Horns start honking.
They are not happy.
No. And then one of the trucks starts pushing Billy, and it's a fuel truck. So he's basically telling Billy, fill up your tanks with my truck. So he fills them up. Billy's exhausted.
Blistered hands.
Yeah.
And he's delusional.
So then they started making plans to go through the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy gets a grenade. And he blows up the military cart. And everyone goes through the tunnel. And the trucks are now destroying the truck stop. Which, I was saying this from the very beginning. Why didn't the truck just run through the truck stop from the start? And start destroying the truck stop from the start?
Plot.
Ugh, whatever. It was stupid. So, one of the trucks is flammable. And the entire station explodes. So they're running through the woods on their way to this marina. The Happy Toys truck is following them. They are ducking behind what I think it was a restaurant.
Yeah, like a Mickey D's.
Yeah, and the menu at the restaurant starts making noise.
Humans are here. Humans are here.
Basically.
What the hell?
So the boy shoots it up.
Good boy.
And the ice cream truck is coming now. And Curtis and Brett shoot that. So one of the other guys, his name is Brad, for some reason, as they're running along, he goes to steal a dead woman's ring. Because there was this lady who was just, her hand was out of the car. And the Happy Toy truck kills him.
Wow. all at the marina while they're trying to get on a boat.
Right. So they get on the boat.
But not before our hero, Billy, gets one last bazooka shot, aims for the happy toy, and boom goes happy toys.
Right.
Green Goblin is on fire and dead.
And one of the things we really didn't understand, all these motor vehicles are going crazy, mm-hmm. killing people, mm-hmm. but they can get on the boat.
What is stopping the boats from killing people?
It wasn't a rowboat. If it was a rowboat, I could understand.
It wasn't a yacht. It was a schooner. I believe it was a schooner that they got on.
Right. Well,
yes, I know what a schooner is. Okay. And it had to have been like at least 20-foot schooner that they were on. And what's stopping that boat or any other boat in the marina?
Right.
From turning on the humans.
Right.
But then,
of course, nothing happened.
Of course, nothing happened. And 3 days later, from the date that the comet was in Earth's orbit, after those 3 days, everything went back to normal as expected.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
As expected?
And that was the end of the movie. Thankfully.
I need a few shots. I need a few shots.
It was just, I mean, it was really dumb. It wasn't horror.
It was just, granted, there was action because things were getting blown up.
Yeah.
People are getting into fights.
There was stupid action.
Comedy, I mean, you're kind of stretching it out. With
yeah.
That one.
There was no comedy. The whole thing was just ridiculous. And I'm glad it's over. And I think that's all I got to say about that one.
Same here, because I can't think of anything else to say because this was a mess.
Mm-hmm. So next week, we'll figure out what we're going to have. We don't know yet.
I'm sure one of our wonderful people out there will suggest something.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, you know they're going to suggest something.
I know.
If they don't, then I'm going to probably find something that was just absolute yuck.
Yeah.
But you know, on things like that, I'm just thankful that I could say thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to our crazy ramblings, our reviews, and hoping you had some booze to go with our reviews. And of course, as always, no matter who you are, where you are, as long as you're of drinking age, please, please, please drink responsibly. And with that, we say
cheers.